The JSE's only logistics specialist, Equitest, has reported a 9.3% rise in its interim distribution per share to just over 75 cents, largely driven by strong like-for-like rental growth of 7.3%, as well as healthy margins from new developments. And for the full year period, the group's eyeing a jump of up to 10% in distribution per share. Joining me in studio now to take a look at what's fueling that growth outlook is the company's CEO, Andrea Tervena Tjuresan. Thanks so much, Andrea, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So logistics assets proving still the place to be, perhaps even more so now with things, I guess, having moved beyond retailers looking to build their competitive capability to growth in e-commerce taking off exponentially as well. Is it safe to assume that logistics facilities not so much of a hard sell, even in distressed economic scenarios?
Well, I think the key is supply chain is key to everything. I mean, most businesses now run just-in-time processes, and the only way you can do that is by having a really efficient and modernly designed supply chain. And that, be it in e-commerce, be it in retail, be it in general distribution. And I think the world has come around. South Africa may be a few years behind the rest of the world, but we're catching up, we're doing things well. And I think, you know, the sector-specific growth is something that we are definitely benefiting from.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that there aren't more players looking to leverage off this, but perhaps that pointing to the barriers of entry that do exist within this space. Are those sitting pretty high?
Well, the barriers to entry obviously are around the quantum involved in these facilities. So they do cost a lot of money to put up, and you need to control land to be able to actually do the deals. So as Equitest, we have invested significant amounts of money in land, both in the UK and in South Africa, because by doing that, we control the deals that we can do on these pockets of land. And with our weighted average cost of capital, we believe that we can afford our client base a financial deal which is unrivaled, and then we have certain IP capacity within the organization which is phenomenal as well, and we're good at holding our clients' hands and taking them through a process, and we believe that we have an unrivaled ability to give best in class to our clients at best value for money.
Let's look at those financial deals that you talk about. I know that you talk about your fund favoring long-dated leases and, of course, also with low-risk tenants. But has the economic climate that we're dealing with right now triggered a shift when it comes to risk of default on your rental streams and the predictability that you currently enjoy?
Well, I mean, you know, in terms of our entire portfolio between UK and South Africa, we collect about 93% of our money from what we deem blue chip tenants. So that could be international multinationals or South African listed companies or UK listed companies for that matter. We have no reason to believe any of our organizations that rent space from us are in any financial difficulty. And don't forget, we property manage all these properties. And whilst we've got fully repairing and maintaining leases, though, we do assist our tenants with that process, and we recover the cost of doing that from them. But in engaging with them, we are very close to them. We speak to them often. Our team is materially inside these facilities. And if something weren't looking so good, I think we would pick it up quite early. Obviously, we were very fortunate that we had no exposure to the two sort of financial difficult cases in the blue chip space, if you want to call it that, within South Africa, be it Steinhoff and be it Edgar's. And the reality of it is that maybe that was a stroke of luck because, you know, had you come to us 4 years ago with a deal with those two covenants, we would have probably done them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You've got vacancies reduced to 0.2%. What kind of escalations are you managing to push through on your SA, but also UK leases?
So the UK leases vary. The UK system is quite complex. So you have three types of leases in the UK. You have a lease, you have index linked leases. Mm-hmm. So either CPI or RPI. So that is fairly basic. It's a statistic which gets published by the government, and that's what you use and that's what you get. And then you have what they call OMV, and OMV is open market value, where effectively what will happen is that properties in a similar node will be viewed, and based on what rental has been achieved on those new developments and whatever, that then gets imposed on the building.
Okay.
So depending on where you are, I mean, some of the rental growth that some, we're not in London, but some of the London rental growth is double digit in at the moment because there's just no space and demand is off the charts. But generally speaking, I mean, we've seen, I mean, some of the Lambert Smith stats for 2018 pointed to about north of 5% rental growth in the UK last year.
And South Africa?
In South Africa, we are looking at sort of depending on covenant, we are looking at rental growths of between 7% and 8%.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Surely, though, these are tenants that are wanting a little bit more out of their deals, their contracts with you. We hear from various office and retail property owners that negotiations have become increasingly tougher over the years. Are you subject to that or simply sitting in too much of a sweet spot?
No, listen. Clients are always going to negotiate hard for the best deal possible. Don't forget, within a South African context and a UK context, there's a lot of competition and a lot of very competent competition. So we are up against really, really good opposition, for want of a better word. So let's not forget that. So we need to give a good deal to the client, but there's many ways to skin a cat, if you like, you know.
And
the lease structure could have a higher escalation because it might have a lower starting rent. There's many ways to structure things to assist the specific client's needs and how they need to structure their financial matrix.
Just to wrap things up, give us a sense of what your development pipeline is looking like, Andrea. You've got to be leveraging off that very successful equity capital raise and then renegotiated debt funding as well, which has seen your cost of debt drop.
So, I mean, in South Africa at the moment, we've got about 50,000 square meters of developments on the go, all in Johannesburg. We currently have quite a few RFPs out at the moment, where in quite a few instances we are the last man standing, and it's at kind of board level, if you like, to get a final approval. And those final approvals sometimes can be macroeconomic related, and there is obviously risk that the deals don't go ahead. We are optimistic that they will go ahead. And then obviously coupled with our, as you mentioned, our cost of equity and our cost of debt, it does afford us a weighted average cost of capital, which is enviable.
Absolutely. Well, let's leave it there, Andrea. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, that's the CEO of Equites Property Fund, Andrea Tervena Chirasan.